NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Antonia Cerejido, in for Maria Hinojosa. Today, two music stories from two different generations, weirdly connected by New Jersey. For this episode, we're bringing you two of our How I Made It segments. If you don't know them, they're stories that dive into creative processes. And while this first creator we're going to hear from is not Latino, he's definitely had a huge impact on Latin music. If you've ever seen a band play with percussion instruments like congas, a set of bongos, or a cowbell, chances are the company that made it is LP, or Latin Percussion. The company was started in the 1960s by a young Jewish man from the Bronx named Martin Cohen. A mechanical engineer by trade, Martin was entranced by the sounds and rhythms of Latin music during the mambo craze in the 1950s and 60s in New York City. De la música aprende. But when he set out to find his own set of bongos, he found himself blocked by the Cuban embargo. So he decided to do something about it. Now, almost six decades after Martin Cohen made his first drum, he tells his story on how he made Latin percussion a household name.
I am Martin Cohen, and I founded the company Latin Percussion in 1964. Call me Martin. I was born in the Bronx, New York, and I lived there for about 23 years before I moved to New Jersey with the express purpose of building bongos. My whole music listening experience up until that point was almost non-existent. I didn't have a record player when I was growing up, but the first time I heard Latin music, it was Cal Jader playing.
From the jazz corner of the world, uninterrupted, from Birdland on Broadway at 52nd Street.
Nothing elevated my senses to the level that they were elevated to when I accidentally stumbled into Birdland. It was the rhythm that was so exciting. It was something so unfamiliar to me and so enjoyable. Something that grabbed a hold of me at age 17, and here I am, and the feeling is still the same. I was graduated from City College Engineering School in New York, January 1961, and working at an engineering job during the day, which was boring. And on weekends, I would go to the Latin dance halls like the Yorkville Casino, Riviera Terrace, Palladium.
This is a mambo party off Broadway, just as it happened one night.
And it was exciting there. That's what I wanted to do with my life. I was so impressed with this bongo player I saw at one of the Monday night jam sessions in Birdland. His name was Jose Mangual Sr. He looked so elegant playing the bongos, his body language, his sound. I said, oh my God, I want to play like Mangual. And I went out to 48th Street, which was then the home of musical instrument stores. And there were no longer any Cuban bongos available because
I have directed that the following initial steps.
The Cuban embargo was in effect.
Ships of any kind bound for Cuba from whatever nation or port where they're found to contain cargoes of offensive weapons, be turned back.
And they just weren't available anymore. And after I came out of my third music store with a no, we don't have them, I said, I will make my own. And I set out then to make something I never made before, didn't know how to make it. And the process of building drums and building things I knew nothing about was initiated. Mungo, who had the greatest immediate impact on me, he was the one I would call and I said, what do I make the bongo shells out of? He said, caoba. I woke him up in the morning, didn't realize that musicians sleep late. But it was questioning various musicians. What was this made out of? How do you do this? I went and got these two blocks of mahogany. I went to Norberto Cruz in Harlem. He was one of the last wood turners. I brought him my design. I brought him the blocks of wood. I tormented him until he finally did it one Friday. I came back on Monday, and the rims that were made for it wouldn't fit. I didn't know that when you cut open a block of solid mahogany, it's all wet inside, and the first thing that happens over the weekend is it shrunk a quarter of an inch, and he made it work. The steel, which was made prior, was made in my job. So I sent the drawings of the bongo rims with different names attached to the model shop. And after hounding them, they made it and then fired me. I talked American Rawhide into believing I was a genuine drum maker, and they sold me the rawhide. And I got my first drum made. I would bring a bongo to a store named Al Wolf's Drummer Supplies on 48th Street. And I brought it to him on consignment. He sold it and paid me the $75. And I bring him another drum. And this was done on the condition I wouldn't sell to anyone else. And this was dribs and drabs. There was no way of making money on consignment. One day, I got a call from Manny's Music Store, which was next door. And they wanted to do business with me. It didn't take me much thinking to know I had to do it. And I came in there with a big German Shepherd, and I wrote my first real order of drums and percussion. I was working in College Point, New York. And I had a lunch hour to get a business card. I had no idea. I had no logo. I said, well, let me call it Latin Percussion. It was like non-imaginative name, but the best name I could have chosen because it was not only the brand, but the generic. It was the same name. A lot of people found it odd that a Jew from the Bronx that can't speak Spanish could make qualified instruments that would become the desire of the best percussionists out of the Latin community. And the reason was I was so devoted to these players. They were my heroes. So I just worked for their adulation. I just wanted them to be happy, which they wouldn't have been if the instruments weren't great. But I had to constantly work, you know, working in my basement or working with inadequate equipment and working with very little money. I worked toward becoming known as the maker of the best percussion. I forgot the year. It was probably early 2000. I wanted to test a timbal shell. And I always said, well, we'll get a recorder and we'll bang on the side and we'll compare it, the bang, 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 to the bang, bang, bang. That's not good. Let's put a little band together and let's listen to it in the context of a band. And that really worked out well. Unknowingly, we were creating a phenomenon of conga head, which became a channel that is watched by, I think, every serious percussionist in the world. What I learned in growing a successful business, four things that are important to embrace. I got them from my childhood growing up in a difficult household where there was never much money. First one is my father said, why are you standing around? Why aren't you working? I was 11. I went to the drugstore and I asked if there were any prescriptions I could deliver. The second thing I learned was spend little. The third thing I learned, finish what you start. I also learned probably before the first one, don't ever blame anyone else for your failures. Keeping these four things in mind made it possible for a poor boy from the Bronx to succeed.
That was Martin Cohen, founder of Latin Percussion and CongaHead.com. Coming up on Latino USA, we hear a story from another New Jerseyite. A young songwriter takes a trip to discover a missing piece of herself. Stay with us, no te vayas.
This is Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air from WHYY and NPR. We do long-form interviews with journalists breaking the big news stories and with the authors, filmmakers, and musicians behind the best in pop culture. So listen and subscribe.
We're back with another story from our How I Made It series. Singer and songwriter Ambar Lucid's music has been described as a bilingual dream come true by website Once to Watch.
I feel it growing just about every day. Is it just me or am I going insane?
Her music has this nostalgic feeling, which is sort of surprising since she only recently graduated from high school. The wistful quality of her music might have something to do with the way she grew up, splitting her time between New Jersey and the Dominican Republic. Here's Ambar.
Sometimes I have like little flashbacks of like things that happened in my life, but sometimes like I'm not sure if I'm just remembering a dream that I had or if it was like an actual memory that was just like stored away in my brain. My legal name is Ambar Cruz, but I go by Ambar Lucid. I am 18 years old, and I grew up in Little Ferry, New Jersey. I've been singing my entire life.
When I say that I feel a certain way.
But I started playing guitar when I was 11. It's actually kind of a funny story. I used to be a really, really big One Direction fan. And I had a huge crush on Niall Horan. And I was like going through One Direction facts, and I saw that somebody posted like, Niall Horan learned how to play guitar when he was 11. And they showed like a picture of him with a guitar. And I was like, oh my God, I'm 11. I need to learn guitar. And then that was literally my motivation to do it. I was like, Niall Horan will marry me if he knows that I started playing guitar when I was 11, too.
1, 2, 3, go.
Listening to anything that I thought was good just brought me so much excitement. Like, I don't even know how to explain. Like, my body would literally, like, tingle, like, if I heard a song that was good. My mom, I don't know, she's had like different jobs throughout the years. And my dad, he lives in Mexico. He's been living in Mexico for quite a few years now. He works at a hospital. I don't really remember when my dad was deported. I don't really have the timeline right, but I know that it happened when I was like maybe like 4 to 6, because around that time I moved to DR with my grandma. I have very few vivid memories of him when I was younger. the time of the year that I would hear most from him would be Christmas and my birthday, because they're very close to each other.
In the years that followed her father's deportation, he had another daughter in Mexico. Meanwhile, Amber's music career began to take off. She came out with a record titled Dreaming Lucid, and people most gravitated to her song called Letter to My Younger Self.
We were thinking about different ideas for the video for Letter, and I knew that for the video I wanted to do something that was just as meaningful to me as the song was.
I've just seen a ghost. The memories I hate the most.
We decided to go to Mexico and meet with my dad for the first time. I just wanted to see my dad, and I wanted to feel like I had a dad. Like, I wanted to see him physically, and I just wanted to experience being with my dad.
I've just seen a ghost. The memories I
hate. I'm at the airport right now. Traveling is exhausting, but I'm excited.
We got to Mexico, and it was interesting just because, like, I was with a crew, and there was a lot of people. And I literally had a camera with me in the car on our way to go see my dad. So that just added on to the anxiety. So we parked. I text my dad that I'm outside. He comes out.
Oh my God.
And, like, I don't know, he just smiles, and we gave each other a big long hug. He comes out with my sister.
Hi, Seattle. Oh my God.
Literally right after I first met her, she, like, pulled my arm and she took me to the table at my dad's house, and she was like, let's color.
Yo tengo un gato que se llama Wilson, pero se lo presté a mi amiga pues porque tengo dos perritas y se lo van a comer.
Oh my God.
Siempre que escucho un ruido de un gato.
And then while we were coloring, she was just telling me about her life, and she was telling me about her pets and her friends and, like, her life at school. And it was so cute. Like, just listening to the world and mind of a little kid. And I don't know, like, I feel like it was a nice bonding experience, because after, like, talking to her, it felt like she's my sister. And that was something that I was scared about, because, like, you know, meeting somebody after literally 18 years and, like, not knowing a family member, basically, like, you don't know how you're gonna feel when you're with them. But I was like, oh my God, like, this is my little sister, and, like, I love her.
I'm bad, you will make it far. All of the wishes that you begged from the start.
There was a point where she literally sang a letter to my younger self to me, and I just started bawling my eyes out.
Yeah, no quiero que llores. The universe is gonna give you muchas flores.
And I was like, oh my God, what I wrote was true. Hearing her sing a letter to my younger self and then seeing her in the video, and, like, I viewed her as my younger self. And everything that I wrote to myself when I was 16, everything that I said was just true. Like, it was just meant to be said.
Ya no quiero que llores. The universe is gonna give you muchas flores.
I love the idea of saying the universe is gonna give you muchas flores, because flowers are just, they're a nice gift to get from someone. Like, they're a nice decoration. Like, flowers are just, you would never get upset by seeing flowers. Flowers are just beautiful. My father, there was a point where we were sitting on the bench. We were next to an ice cream shop, and he basically asked me for his forgiveness for not really being there in my life. That literally, when I heard those words, it felt like I was hit by a truck. Because I didn't expect him to say that. And it was something that I didn't know that I needed to hear.
Yo te perdono.
Thank you. actually felt kind of sad to leave because I feel like I didn't experience it enough. But I know that it was a very healing moment. And I feel like it's very important for me to share my music because there are other people that can heal with it the same way that I heal when I write.
Te amo.
Yo también.
Find out more about Ambar's story in the documentary Llegaron las Flores, which highlights Ambar's visit with her family and is available on YouTube. The story you heard was produced by Jeannie Montalvo and edited by Marlon Bishop. The second story was produced by myself, Antonia Cerejido, and edited by Fernanda Camarena. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Sofia Paliza Carr, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, and Sayer Quevedo. Special thanks to Emily Mullen. Our engineers are Stephanie Lebeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fiedelholz. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Jess Alvarenga. Our interns are Lucas Southard and Jonathan Cabral. Our theme music was composed by Senia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. Our executive producer is Maria Hinojosa. I'm your host this week, Antonia Cerejido. Join us again next time, and in the meantime, you can find us on social media. Adios!
Latino USA is made possible in part by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. The Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. And the Wincote Foundation.
Rude! I'm Antonia Cerejido, in for Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, Latinos are more concerned about climate change than non-Latinos. We hear about a new scientific field that has the potential to stop global warming. That's next time on Latino USA.